93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Latte, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter is with us.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a hold of us, 359-CALL. That's 217-359-2255.
You can hear from Bruce Weber next. He had his season wrap-up today. And it's funny because Ron Zook had his Here Comes the Season.
Yeah,
spring
exactly.
practice start. You'll hear from him a little bit later. We'll also talk a little bit about the Matt Painter situation. Is he going to Missouri? A lot going down there. But Bruce Weber met with the media today, and I was telling Michael about this earlier today, and he asked me, did Bruce sound any better?
I asked if he was still sounding lethargic like he did back in February, and I guess he kind of did, Jeremy.
Well, did you hear him on the clip?
Yeah.
It didn't sound like Bruce Weber.
No, it didn't. No.
It did not sound like Bruce Weber.
It did sound a little bit different, and you could tell that Ron Zook, even though Ron Zook definitely had that sort of, that sort of optimistic thing in his voice.
Exactly.
That Weber basically just sort of, and the Richmond thing didn't sound convincing.
Right. No. Well, this is what Bruce Weber had to say today.
I think, obviously we had high expectations going into the season with some seniors and some talented young guys. Probably didn't live up to all of the expectations, and that's one of the things, one of the problems in anything, and in sport, especially in sports, when, you put those high expectations out there, if you don't reach it, then, is it more disappointment than probably needed. But I thought we had some shiny moments, had a great start. Had some tough close games that didn't go our way. When you look back, a few blockouts, taking care of the basketball. I think we didn't turn it over when you really consider numbers. Like, we weren't one of the worst in the nation by any means, but when you're in a league where some of the top teams never turn it over, never foul. It really makes it very glaring when you do turn it over. So some turnovers, some blockouts, and then just making a play. And those those 3-4 games probably are the difference between feeling really good and maybe getting a 4-5 seed. And not feeling really good. And then I really thought, and I've said this, I said it the last 3-4 weeks, I thought we played good basketball at the end. Not that we won every game, but I thought we were starting to play with this, the same energy, with this sharing the basketball, doing some of the same stuff. Really played a great game against Vegas and gave a great effort against Kansas. We had to make some shots. I think you watched the tournament, which has been unbelievable for everybody, for basketball fans. It's been amazing, the games and the close games and the crazy games and all the things that have happened. But, we had when you make shots, obviously it makes you you look better. You look better as a coach, as a team, and especially with the three ball. And I really thought the Kansas game, if just like VCU was able to hit the three ball against Kansas, it spread the defense, would have been probably the difference maker for us. We just didn't, we had the looks, but we never got it down and never really put the pressure on them that, somebody like VCU would have been able to. So, now you have I don't want to say starting over totally, but you have a huge group of young guys coming in. I feel very good about our freshman class. Got some kids that are quality kids, good players, seem to have, the energy and the excitement that you want. And then you still have a nucleus here of guys that have shown what DJ did at the end. You got to feel good about him. Brandon Paul had some, opportunities. I thought Crandall got some great minutes. Obviously, Jeremy has a lot of potential. And even a Tyler Griffey is, and a Myers, I think, have very good potential. And if they can, take another big step, can be good quality players for us. So I think for having a young team, I think the positive looking at next year, the league is probably going to be very young overall. It was very old this year, a lot of experience, but as a whole, you're probably going to You know, like us, a lot of new people, new faces. I think the league will be have that same look next year.
That's Illinois basketball coach Bruce Weber with his season wrap-up press conference. There's a lot more, but that's kind of what he opened up with. Talked for 4 minutes straight, just wrapped up the season, and I think it was all there. You know, if they make shots in these big games, in these big situations, they make some plays, it would have been a much different season.
Well, and listeners out there understand this. This is it's very simple, but it is the simple. Two or three games can make the difference between being a five seed and being a nine. Or even a 4-9. I mean, that's how big some of those games are. In the last 2 years, Illinois has struggled with just a couple of those games that have really killed them. Last year, it hurt them to the point they didn't even make the tournament. This year, I think it hurt them to the fact that they were deeper as a 9.
And Bruce Weber brought up the VCU comparison.
Right.
Against Kansas, they made shots. That's what they've done all tournament. They've made three-pointers, and Illinois struggled when it didn't make shots. Obviously, late-game situations, that was a big factor, but when DJ Richardson struggled, when Dimitri McKamey struggled, when Brandon Paul struggled from the outside, that's when Illinois really struggled, and that's when VCU, that's why they're hot right now.
Exactly.
They're making everything, it seems like, from beyond the arc.
Well, the thing with VCU, too, is in that first half, I think their field goal percentage inside of the arc was actually pretty dismal.
Right.
So it shows the three-pointers are really the great equalizer.
It changes college basketball.
Big time.
And as far as a couple games that could have made a difference, I don't know if it would have been big wins as much as it would have been, let's say that we come away with a win against UIC in Indiana. Then I think you're looking at a 7 or a 6 seed. You would have been a 21-win team, 10-8 in the Big Ten going into the tournament. If Michigan at 9-9 with no quality wins outside but a few bad losses got an 8, we would have got a 7 or a 6 and avoided a team like Kansas that early.
Exactly.
Well, and that makes you think because, you know, you've seen these top teams struggle in these like mid-major seeds. And you see UConn and Kentucky 3 and 4 seeds really succeed with what they were given, the draws that they received. It all goes back to a season of what if.
Yep.
What if they would have showed up for these big games? And that's what you heard from Bruce Weber. But he also talked about Jeremy Richmond. That's a storyline of the offseason. You'll hear from him next about the freshman who's back at school. But is he going to be here next year?
That's a good tease.
Exactly. Because I want to know this. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
So you're saying it's going to be nice enough tomorrow that I can snowmobile with just, like, not even a jacket on?
I suppose you could.
You
I don't know how
snow,
well it's going
right?
to work.
Are we going to have enough that
it's not going to stick. I mean,
I thought you meant
this
I could.
This weekend it's going to get up to, like, mid-50s, around 60. So that's decent.
Nothing wrong with that.
We're getting it.
Smarch weather.
Smarch.
And then,
Lucas has a baseball game in Springfield.
Already.
So maybe it's going to be 50 degrees. That'll be nice.
We'll
359 call 217-359-2255. It's the Tay and Jay Show. I am Lon Tay. He is Jeremy Warner. Mike Carpenter's with us. It's March 29th.
We're talking Illini basketball. I know the season's over. Been over for a couple weeks here.
Yeah.
But Bruce Weber met with the media today, addressed a lot of the issues surrounding Illinois basketball. And, of course, number one,
Jeremy Richmond.
That's right.
And please tell me this kid's coming back, because I'm sorry, Illinois needs Jeremy Richmond bad.
Well, Bruce Weber was asked about in three or four ways today if he's coming back. And the first question he was asked is he keeping a close eye on Jeremy Richmond? This is what he had to say about the whole situation.
We always have a close eye on all our guys and try to pay attention to them and their ups and downs. And freshmen go through a lot of, you know, some are... are able to deal with it a lot better, you know, and I wish there was a formula, if I would say a general formula for a freshman to have success, one, to have good players around them, two, to have great stability in their life and in school, and it makes it easier to have success on the basketball court. Jeremy is back. He was here, you know, it worked out yesterday. All our guys were in the gym yesterday after spring break. We met with them Monday when we got back late Sunday night. I told them they, you know, with spring break, they all had to come in Monday and meet before they left. We had a little bit of a year-ending meeting with each guy and met Sunday night and got back in the gym yesterday. So he's back here and. He's kind of like our team. He had some shining moments and, you know, really showed well and showed like, you know, the kid can be special, but he also has to, you know, I think mature, grow up, be more consistent in all areas of his life. I mean, he's here right now and, you know, he's part of the program and, you know, I if he makes the progress he's supposed to, you know, I don't, he'll be there. So, you know, I don't, I think that's so far out that, you know, but right now he's here and working out. He was in the, you know, as I said, he was in the workouts yesterday.
That's Illinois head coach Bruce Weber talking about Jeremy Richmond. He's here now. He's back on campus. He's here taking classes, working out with the team, but he kind of avoided the long-term question. Is he going to be here next year? And I give Bruce props because I don't think he knows yet.
I doubt he knows.
Yeah, he doesn't really know yet. I mean, he's got some off-the-court problems that he needs to take care of, and he needs to get all lined away with that before he can come back. What do you think about this whole situation? 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
It's too bad. And I know Bruce, you know, that was such a long year for Bruce Weber, Illini players, Illini fans. Now you start, it's almost like, all right, you know, let's take a deep breath. Let's start anew. Let's hope for next season. We've got some new fresh blood coming onto campus, new young kids come in. We've got Brandon with a chance to be a leader, DJ with a chance to be a leader. We got new guys, a whole class leaving. And now, right off the bat, you're dealing with Jeremy Richmond.
The question is, though, Lon, you had said that we need this guy. And yes. I would say on the court, yes, if the production we could definitely use next year. But the thing that troubles me about Richmond is I was a big fan of his early on, and especially after that Ohio State game, I said, you know what, this kid is a stud. He's a leader on the court. And he does have a moxie about him that a lot of our players don't.
Right.
After a while, though, how many things do we need to hear about this guy where basically where there's smoke, there's fire? A lot of this is unsubstantiated. I know that. And a lot of it's rumors on the internet. Fair or not. But after a while, you hear so many things. And if it's a distraction as a fan base, I can only imagine what it's like in the locker room. No matter how much these guys like Jeremy, that's got to weigh on him.
Well, there's a lot of red flags with this kid growing up. You know, he was suspended, kicked off his team as a sophomore, was suspended for a game his senior year because there was a fight at school and he was involved in it. I don't know exactly how much he was involved. I don't think he was the reason for it, but he got involved in it. And you know, he had his issues at the end of the year, was suspended for two NCAA tournament games. He let his team down.
That's
huge. He has to make it up. And yeah, he's shown some of those leadership tendencies because he's a great player and he's fired up. He's an intense player that wants to win, but he's a 19-year-old that needs to kind of mature. He needs to mature and get everything together. And whether he has these NBA aspirations, he has to take care of his business at college if he wants to continue playing here, because he's not ready for the NBA yet. I mean, no. Yeah, I think that's his future, but he's got to take care of these other things before he can get there.
It's amazing what can change in 2 years. I mean, a lot of Illini fans thought of this kid coming to Illinois thinking, man, I hope he stays 2 years.
Right.
He might be so good that he leaves for the NBA. Yeah. And now look at things. It's like, well, we hope he comes back. You know, he didn't have a gigantic season. He was solid. But we hope he comes back. We hope
because
he can produce. You need him bad.
Because if you want to win next year, Jeremy Richmond, I think they have a lot of talent next year, but you don't have a lot in that post. No. And he's a great four-man that you saw against that Ohio State game. He dominated the post. He's one of the smarter players on the team.
Big
just knows
time.
How to pass. He can do a little bit of everything. So they're going to need him next year. What do you think about this? 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. You can also email us.
Yeah. Lon, L-O-N, at myconnectfm.com.
Or Jeremy, J-E-R-E-M-Y, at myconnectfm.com.
I long for this. I long to see Jeremy Richmond and Brandon Paul and Crandall Head and Myers Leonard and DJ Richardson. I long to see them just run and gun up and down the court. Let them have some fun, and let's see this. Don't tell me that it's going to be taken away already with Richmond. I hope he's back. I hope his head is on straight. We don't know a lot of the stuff, obviously. I'm not going to sit here and act like I do. I just hope, as a fan, that he's here and he takes off next year and has such a great year that next year at this time we're sitting here worried about him leaving for the NBA.
That's a possibility. The thing is, though, if he happens to leave, first off, I got to give some props to the coaching staff because, you know, so many times we see them almost have no filter. And by them, I basically mean Weber doesn't have much of a filter when it comes to these things. They've been very, very quiet about what's been going on, and I think that's appropriate. You got a freshman that there's some fragility there with this kid. Mm-hmm. You don't know exactly if you push this button, what's going to happen. If you push that button, what's going to happen. If he's not with the program, I think knowing how patient Bruce has been in the past, even from the start with Luther and the issues he had to deal with his first year with Luther, if he's gone, it's for good reason.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's not. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
he's going to do something.
This isn't a Bruce Weber problem.
Oh, not at all.
You know, I know the coach is getting a lot of flack, and it's fair because his team has underachieved the last couple of years. But this is solely seems a Jeremy Richmond off-the-court problem that he needs to fix up if he wants to take his career to take off like he wants it to.
We got more with Weber, right, when we return?
Well, it's funny you mentioned a little bit about running up and down the court. Weber talked about how the style might change next year with all those seniors graduating.
All right, we'll do that next. Hey and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM, 336. You can call us, 359-CALL. You should have that program by now.
Yeah, put that in your cell phone.
Please. 359-CALL, 217-359-2255.
I had that on speed now.
Do you really?
Yeah, but I work
too.
Here, so. Mike, do you have that on?
You know, I should because there was that time I called.
You got him.
There was that, yeah, exactly. There was that time I called in the 5 at 5. And I actually had to text you for the number, but I should have known over and over. I get 359-CALL. Right.
Sometimes
it's easy.
Yeah. I have the station number in my cell phone just to get a hold of different people, not on the air, because normally I'm not calling on our air.
Yeah, one day you texted me. What's the number? I'm like, you say it 10 times every day. Every day.
Well, I had just gotten a haircut.
That's true. When you get a haircut, you forget some things.
You lose
some
things. I don't know what it is.
We're talking Illinois basketball. We heard from Bruce Weber. He met with the media today, talked about the disappointing season, the high expectations. They didn't live up to it, obviously. Then he addressed the Jeremy Richmond ongoing saga. He is back at school. He practiced with, or I guess they just went through workouts yesterday. He's back at school taking classes. So he didn't really answer the long-term question, though, because he probably can't. And he's keeping under wraps the reasons that he's out, which is probably the smart thing to do. You don't want to out a 19-year-old. You know, I mean, they get in trouble. 19, 20, 21-year-olds, they get in trouble. But, yeah, I mean, you talked about a little bit about the team next year. It's going to be completely different.
Big time. And I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think, you know, and I think just Bill Cole, he had his role.
Bless his heart.
And he hustled. Bless his heart. He hustled. he hit some shots, you know.
Bless his heart.
Mike Davis obviously was really good last year, especially at the end. Mike Tisdale was decent. But those kind of guys are not going to run and gun, maybe Davis. But they're not going to get up and down the court. And, of course, Dimitri, yeah. But I just think that I'd like to see this team switch gears and just run. And I know Bruce said that 100 times this year that he's like, guys, I want them to run. I'm not telling them to slow down.
Well, when you saw it a little bit when the small lineup was in. I think it was the Michigan State game. Yeah, it was the Michigan
State game. Ohio State game, too, parts of that.
Right, when they had Jeremy Richmond and Mike Davis in on the post. They had those guys, and you just saw a different kind of basketball. And I think that's what you're going to see next year. And it all comes. Mike Tisdale had a very good career.
Sure.
Very solid career here at Illinois, but he slowed everything down a little bit because he's a half-court player.
Yep.
And he was a good half-court player. But when it came to running up and down the court, he just wasn't there. Well, next year, you have a lot of athletes going to be on the court. You're going to have Brandon Paul, Crandall Head, DJ Richardson, Myers Leonard, maybe Jeremy Richmond if he's here.
So
I mean, you look at that group and you say, wow, what can they do? And then you have Joe Bertrand, a guy that can get in there and run. We haven't seen a lot from him, but you know he's an athlete, and he can probably play in transition. Bruce Weber talked about it today. It's just where do you find him a place in the half court? He's got to find a niche. He's going to have to hit some shots. Can he come around a screen and hit a curl shot? That's something he's going to have to figure out.
This isn't a bold prediction, but if we see early on in the season, even in exhibition games, the same kind of style of play, a much more half-court based kind of play, you can book it at that point that team will not make the NCAA tournament. This team, out of necessity, will have to run. It will have to be a completely different kind of game than we've even seen, even with the Final Four team, because they had some bangers down low with Augustine and Powell.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be by far our biggest weakness. I don't know what I would compare what our offense is going to have to be next year, what kind of team I'd compare it to, a
VCU?
Kind of?
VCU,
I suppose.
I mean, you look at that team, they get up and down the court,
they do.
And they find open threes in transition, and that's when they kill you, is when they hit those open threes in transition. Illinois got some three-point shooters next year. I mean, DJ Richardson can shoot. Michael Henry is a great shooter. I mean, he's got to do it on college floor, but he's got to do it. Brandon Paul is streaky, but he can hit those
threes.
Absolutely. You know, you haven't seen Crandall Head yet, what he can do, but, you know, you got some shooters on that team, and you have some athletes that can get to the basket that attack the basket. So that's where they're going to have to change. But Bruce Weber talked about it today. I mean, this team style will be different.
With DJ, Crandall, Brandon, even, you know, even a Myers, Jeremy, and then all the young guys, I think we can be much more aggressive defensively. I hope we can, we all have more ball handlers so we can do more things. I think the one thing when you watch teams in the NCAA, at least to me, it stands out. They, so many teams have guys that can handle the basketball. And, you know, what is it? VCU has, I don't know exactly, five or six guys that shot more than 53s. You know, it's such a, and it's different basketball, but, and they're making shots at the right time, obviously. But, you know, I think we can do a lot more things. I'm hoping, at least.
Whoa.
That's Bruce Weber.
And Bruce just said, you know, all these teams can handle the basketball. Do we have anybody that can handle the basketball?
Well, Brandon Paul can handle a little bit.
Well, a little bit, but I think that the way that that sound clip answered your question right there, do we have guys that can handle the ball? Do we get? Do we have guys that give Bruce any sort of faith in this offense next year? I think we can, or however he ended that sound clip right
there. Well, he can't talk about him yet, but that's where Sam Maniscalco comes in. I mean, Sam can't really, he can't talk about Sam until June, until he rolls at the university, signs scholarship papers. But, I mean, that's where he hopefully helps you a little bit. And Tracy Abrams will play. I mean, he'll play. He'll probably play a little bit at that point guard spot. So you hope he's a guy that can handle the ball. They don't have a lot of true, they don't have a true point guard on this team. But, I mean, you saw I hate going back to this team, but the Final Four team. They had three guys that can handle the ball. And I think Illinois is going to have its turnovers next year. They had them this year. You only had one guy that can handle the ball, and even without him, they turn the ball over. But I think it's going to be a lot of that next year. It might be some sloppy basketball, but you're going to get up and down the court. And I think that's, like Mike said, that's where they have to play, because that's where Myers Leonard's good, is in transition, because he can out-jump anybody and out-athlete anybody.
I'm not – this isn't a dig, but I am alarmed at how DJ and Brandon and these guys can't consistently handle the ball. It shocks me. It shocks me that they're in college, and as much basketball as these kids play today, I mean, these AAUs and travel teams, I mean, they have a basketball in their hand 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And I know that, I mean, I'm not saying DJ's terrible or that Brandon's terrible. It just shocks me that they are not very good with the ball.
Well, and I think more, I mean, DJ didn't turn the ball over that much this year. It's more, but he didn't handle it
right.
a lot.
He didn't want it.
Brandon Paul's turnovers came a lot on the offensive fouls that he had. There's just some awful decisions he made. A lot of it wasn't really, I mean, he can dribble the ball. I mean, he doesn't have the greatest handle, but neither does DJ. But, you know, it's more decision-making that seemed to be when they drive into the middle of the lane with just a packed zone in there.
Exactly.
How much of that could you attribute to Dimitri being there? Meaning nothing against Dimitri, but just the presence of Dimitri, knowing that he's your go-to point guard, that he's the guy through which the offense runs. How much do you think that might have played a factor in, I don't want to say hindering the development of Paul and Richardson, but I guess it could be argued.
Oh, I think that's a good point, because you saw in late game situations, that was the problem. They all deferred to Dimitri because this was his team, and that was unfair to Dimitri sometimes because it's hard for him to create a lot of shots for himself when he's the point guard and he has to be the shooter.
And I agree, and I understand that, but I still think there were times where I noticed, maybe it's just me, I noticed DJ or Brandon not really wanting to bring the ball up the court and not looking confident in doing it. But, hey, listen, Matt Painter, I want to know what the update is on him.
I got a good nugget about that, too.
Is he staying at Purdue? Is he going? And if he goes, what happens next? If you don't mind, I'd like to talk about that. Give us a call, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. If you want to talk Illini, that's fine. If you want to know about Matt Painter and hear from that, give us a call. We are here. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.
The new Connect FM. Tay and Jay Show, Lonte, Jeremy Warner, Mike Carpenter, as well. And we're heading quickly to the phone lines. We go to Chase in Champaign. Chase, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, gentlemen. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Hey, I got a quick question on the Painter ordeal here. What exactly is his contract situation with Purdue right now? How much longer does he have left on his contract?
1.3 per year through 2015.
Right, I thought he signed an extension through 2017 after last year.
Oh, 2017.
Yeah, he's got about five or six years left on that.
do you guys honestly see him going somewhere?
I do, absolutely.
I do. I've heard that he is all but a done deal. I hear he's going, and it's not just because of the money. I mean, Missouri's offering him a lot of money, $2.3 million over each year for 7 years, so a $14, $15 million offer.
Wow.
So obviously they're paying him, but I hear there's more behind the scenes with Purdue just not anteing up, just not having the great program that Matt Painter wants.
I think in the short amount of time that he's been there, he has, I mean, he didn't really turn Purdue around because they didn't really go anywhere negatively, but I just think that if I had to rank the coaches in the Big Ten, he would be in my top four, in my opinion.
No, yeah, no doubt. And I think the one thing Painter did that Katie got them to a certain level.
Sure.
And definitely at the end of Katie's regime, it was pretty bad. But Painter restored that pretty quickly, and I would say even took it one step further. Katie teams, yes, from what I remember, you know, they never really made big tournament runs. And granted, Painter didn't make the Final Four, but he did at least have teams that were getting those four, three. You know, I don't know if they ever got a two seed or not, mm-hmm, but
I'd be careful. I mean, Katie had some really strong years in the Big Ten.
He did. He did, especially in the early 90s.
Sure. I mean, with Big Dog
with
and
Martin,
yeah,
and
I mean,
Robinson.
He had some good teams, but I know what you're saying. And I'll tell you this, though, Chase. You call it Juwan Johnson, Robbie Hummel, and Etuan Moore.
Correct.
That's
correct.
The biggest thing that's happened to Matt Painter.
Good point.
But it was him that had to get him.
And my second question I have for you guys is, are you guys worried at all with this kid from ISU having a problem going from the Missouri Valley to the Big Ten? Do you guys see it as a kind of a maybe too big of a jump that quick for just one season?
All right, Chase. Hey, thanks for the call today.
Not a problem, guys.
We appreciate it. And actually, not ISU, but Bradley, and that's Sam Maniscalco. I really don't. I think he's played at a high level in the Missouri Valley, and I think he can come over and contribute.
Yeah, he's a gamer, and Illinois wasn't the only one recruiting him. He wasn't the only one recruiting him. There were a bunch of schools after him, so I think Sam will be fine. He's not going to be a star,
sure,
but he's going to be a nice role player for him.
Sure, I think he can come and control this the tempo when he's in, and that's big. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.